It's KUOW's The Record on Twitter at KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Will Congress save DACA? They've got 6 months. And here in Washington State, about 18,000 so-called dreamers are eager to find out. Ray Corona is one of those people brought here illegally as a child. He's 25 now, runs a nonprofit that serves the LGBTQ community. And Ray, thanks for joining us on The Record.
Thank you for having me.
What's your story? How did you end up in the U.S.?
Well, I was 9 years old when my family, took the decision to leave everything behind and move to the U.S. And so... Leave Mexico City. Yeah, I'm from Mexico City. So we established ourselves in Everett, and we have, basically grew up in Everett, went to high school, graduated from high school, ended up going to the University of Washington, and, you know, now I'm in the workforce, so...
What'd you study at UW?
I graduated with a degree in society, ethics, and human behavior.
When you received DACA, you were 21 at the time, what did that do for you?
You know, I was about a year away from graduating from college, and it basically allowed me to enter the workforce seamlessly. Right after graduation, I started preparing and applying for internships. I was able to work within the admissions office at the University of Washington. And then followed graduation, I actually got a job in the admissions office recruiting students for the University of Washington. So,
if the DACA program, again, this is deferred action for childhood arrivals, of which you're one, right? If the DACA program had never happened, what would you have done?
I don't know. Actually, at the time when DACA was announced, right, it was just right before summer break, and many of us were still in school. And I actually had taken some time off to figure out what the alternatives could be.
This was under President Obama, to remind people.
This was, yeah. I remember thinking to myself, right there, I made this investment, right? Not only I, but, much of the community made this investment to fund my K-12 education. And then, this was actually before Washington State allowed undocumented students to apply for the State Need Grant program. So this was all before that. So I funded all of my higher education with just scholarships. So I thought to myself, I've worked hard. I've applied for all these scholarships. I'm really close to graduation. And now I don't really have a pathway forward. Now I cannot necessarily, use my degree and really take part of the workforce. And so
you couldn't get a work permit. What would you have done?
I was thinking about, maybe applying for a business license and becoming a contractor. So that's, that's something that undocumented people have the ability to do. And that's kind of surprising because in some ways, right, that's sort of a work permit.
Right. You're your own boss.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I was thinking about doing. Otherwise, I would have probably gone to just get a job, right? Because the reality of it is, right, bills don't wait and you have to pay rent and you have to, provide for yourself. And so I probably would have just taken some random job, as a server or, a dishwasher, whatever would have been helpful to pay for the bills at that time.
How rigorous are companies in checking that you have a work permit?
I would say most, most companies are pretty rigorous, in terms of, verifying your work eligibility. Of course, I don't think all companies, right, especially smaller companies, don't have the capacity, to implement programs like E-Verify. But even then, right, that's still not the solution, right? Because there's many of us undocumented folks that have been living here for far too long. There has not been an action taken from Congress, right? I mean, myself, I've been living here for 17 years, and I find it slightly hard to believe that Congress is going to do its job in the next 6 months to provide a solution for this issue.
Yeah, when you heard President Trump say DACA ends unless Congress acts in 6 months, what went through your mind?
I think that was, the Trump administration and Trump himself, right, wanting to put the blame on somebody else, right, in this case, Congress. But I think that's really, that's hard to believe, and that's not something that could, that could potentially happen at the same time.
Well, that is Congress's job, as you said, as President Obama said.
Yeah, but we've seen it over and over again, right? I mean, there hasn't been any meaningful legislation move forward in the last 20, 30 years, and you know, and that's just the reality of kind of where Congress is at. Like, you know, maybe, I don't know if people can't come to a feasible solution or, you know, I think most politicians and parties are utilizing immigration as bargaining chips, and Dreamers particularly as bargaining chips. And, you know, I'm tired of all that.
Tired of being a bargaining chip.
I'm tired
human of, bargaining chip.
I'm tired of not being able to move forward in my life. Yes.
If Congress doesn't act, if DACA, again, deferred action for childhood arrivals, if that goes away, what will you do, right?
Well, again, I'm actually currently working, leading a nonprofit for LGBTQ people here in the state of Washington. And so, you know, I'll probably just be working full time on that and applying for grants and looking at other alternatives.
Does that pay the bills?
Not yet. It does not pay the bills yet. So, you know, I would definitely, if DACA goes away in 6 months, and hopefully, right, this Trump administration is not going to take farther steps to actually start deporting Dreamers. I know there was a point on one of their talking points yesterday was where they were mentioning that people should start taking the necessary actions to leave the country. And that's just not an option for me.
Why not?
Again, I mean, I'm bilingual, I'm biliterate. And yes, I actually had the opportunity to go back to Mexico as I applied for a different advanced parole, right? So a permit that allows you to leave the country under DACA. But that's not a country that I can relate to. That's not a community that I've grown up in. And that's not something that you know, that I think many of us are willing to do.
Well, in the U.S., we talk about it being a melting pot. You come here, you can't relate, and then you learn to relate. How do you know that you wouldn't love being a Mexican instead of an American as you come to it?
Well, I mean, you know, I totally enjoy my culture, right? But that has nothing to do with, I think, my ability to, you know, to contribute to my community, my ability to you know, to connect to people. Most of my family lives here, right? You know, parts of my family are documented and parts of it are not. So no, I don't think it's reasonable to ask somebody, right, to just like get up and leave. At the same time, right, when we're talking about deportations, we're often talking about like deporting one or two individuals, not necessarily the whole family, right? And as we know, there's about 11.6 million undocumented people. So if people find it reasonable and we can actually have all the resources to do that, I mean, that's going to take a lot of money, a lot of planes, right? And that's going to take a huge hit on the U.S. economy and just U.S. culture in general.
Ray Corona has lived in the United States since age 9. Without authorization, but recently under the protection of the DACA program, which, as we say, is on its way to going away unless Congress acts. Ray, the Washington State Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, is suing the Trump administration to stop them from ending DACA. He's questioning the president's motivation. Here is a bit of our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson.
If the overwhelming majority of Dreamers were Caucasian, does anybody really think this president would have taken the action he took yesterday?
Do you think the president would end DACA if most of the enrollees were Caucasian?
Well, possibly not. You know, I think many of us would be pretty white passing. And I think people feel okay, right, as we've seen throughout history and more in recent with people who, you know, are light skinned, right? And when we look at racial profiling and police brutality, right, we know that white individuals are less likely to be stopped by police and less likely to be to have some sort of forceful encounter with police, you know, versus those who are brown or black. So
is that abstract to you? Do you feel like you've got a target on you because of your race?
I think it's, yeah, totally. You know, I think it's beyond skin color, right? I think we've seen it, especially under this administration and through the campaign trail, right? Trump supporters and white supremacists that have targeted people for being different, for speaking a different language. And the reality is it doesn't matter really whether you come from Mexico or not, right? As immigration is not a Latino issue, but, you know, we saw that with the travel ban on Muslims. I don't know. There's such fear, right, from white supremacists, from other people who
you
are
feel
different.
Afraid.
Sometimes, definitely. Sometimes, I definitely do feel afraid because, again, I do speak Spanish. I am, brown, and so I would say sometimes I have the ability to fit in because people either think I'm like Filipino or like Native American, but I'm not. So I'm a little bit like racially ambiguous, I guess.
Still talking about race here, there's a different point of view from President Obama, who was at the University of Chicago when he was president talking about immigration. And he said, no, most Americans think that we're a nation of immigrants. Immigration has made us better. He said most Americans also think immigration should be lawful and orderly. And sometimes these people are frustrated when it seems like immigrants are breaking the rules or cutting the line.
And so I think it's important for those who support, as I do, immigration reform and pathways to citizenship for folks who are here, not to assume that everybody who has trouble with the current immigration system is automatically racist. That's an example of us being able to listen.
What do you say to that?
You know, I think there's a lot of complexities in, you know, in our world today. And just like I wouldn't assume that not all people are racist, I also wouldn't assume that the immigration system is that simplistic where you can just go in, you know, go and get a green card or, you know, become a U.S. resident like you're going to the store to buy something.
Yeah, then what about that American who President Obama is representing and listening to who says, it's not about race, it's not your fault, Ray. Your parents brought you to a country where you don't have full rights. Good luck to you in Mexico, and good luck if you decide to apply to come here legally.
You know, if we look at, right, the data, we know that the wait time for people coming from countries like Mexico and India are outrageous. We're talking like decades long. So I think our immigration system is well overdue for maintenance. And if anything, not even beyond a maintenance, like really a huge update in terms of our laws and in terms of how we look at, right, the world today and how we not only look at, right, admitting immigrants into the U.S., but also what happens and what do we do with the people that are already here? Again, as I mentioned before, there's 11.6 million people, and that's a lot of people.
Final question, Ray. How hopeful are you that you and other dreamers are going to have this protection in the future?
I am hopeful because I think the community is getting together and organizing. I have, you know, I've been able to connect with local Congress officials here in our state. And, you know, many of them have mentioned, right, that they've been receiving a lot of calls, especially in support of DACA recipients and support of immigrant youth. And so I'm definitely hopeful because I think, you know, you all, KUOW and the media is definitely doing its job when it comes to covering this story and really making sure that the general public, right, people who might not necessarily be immigrants, understand the complexity of this issue and know that we definitely need to come up with a long-term solution right now.
Ray Corona, a 25-year-old so-called dreamer, DACA recipient, living in Seattle, runs a nonprofit called SOMOS Seattle. Ray, it's good to meet you. Thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you.